0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Christmas Show, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chesko. Chet, let me be the first to say Merry Christmas to you and your family. And in spite of the Eagles debacle in D.C. this weekend, and in spite of what Merle just had to say about the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, they are not.
No, not this year. Yeah, it would have been a whole lot merrier had the Eagles not gone into this December tailspin, Bill. But, hey, so be it. Merry Christmas to you and yours as well. And it was nice hanging out with you for a while on Sunday at Carl's Cards in Havertown. A nice event, despite what happened down in Maryland less than 24 hours earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. John Dornbos, Cody Parkey, and Donnie Jones did a great job there at Carl's with fans and you know, you would have never known that those guys had played that night before and traveled half the night to get home. And, you know, they were just as good as they could be with the folks. And, you know, it was interesting to me while the football game was on, the Bears and the Lions game was on, and John Dornbos said to me, "What time do the Cowboys play?" You know,
the fans
worry about all that stuff, but these guys are so focused on the job they have to do. You know, he knew how important that game still was, but didn't even know what time it started.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but yeah, they were great guys, real fun, and great to all the fans who showed up.
Yep. Well, our ShopForKisses.org phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855, so feel free to give us a call throughout the show. But, Chet, before we talk Eagles, I threw a question out on Facebook today. I made a post, and it was, what was the best Philadelphia sports moment of 2014? And to be honest with you, I didn't hardly get any responses. So, you know, it's been a pretty slack year. What would be your favorite moment of 2014?
Well, there were some great memorable moments nationally, from the Seahawks Super Bowl blowout of the Broncos to the Spurs' exciting NBA Finals win over LeBron and the Heat to, of course, Madison Baumgartner's amazing postseason performance, culminating in a relief appearance in the World Series clincher. But locally, wow, I know some would say the Philly Little League team's run at Williamsport and all of the attention that young Monet Davis got. Some might say Jimmy Rollins setting the Phillies franchise hits record. I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to say, and forgive me because this is not just one moment, but it would be the way the Eagles started the season, coming from behind by at least 10 points in each of their first three games and rallying for victories that had them at 3-0, and made a lot of us wonder if, you know, despite the fact that they weren't playing great, maybe this was going to be some sort of very special season. You start that way, go 3-0, no matter how you do it. That's pretty impressive. Of course, it didn't turn out that way. It is not a special season, unfortunately. So, hey, what are you going to do? What is your special sports memory, Bill?
Well, you know, I think that certainly the high point had to be Thanksgiving Day. You know, I think we all went to the top of the mountain that day and thinking, you know what, this is the year. And how many times have I said along this show, you know, don't get too high when you win, don't get too low when you lose. And sure enough, we all climbed that mountain and we thought that we were that much better than the Dallas Cowboys and everybody else to come along. And so I'll say that as our high point. Obviously, our low point came just a few weeks later last Saturday. So, you know, the Jimmy Rollins hit thing to me, it's a milestone. It's an all-time Phillies record. But, geez, it just didn't have the flair that I was looking for. But I will tell you this, one thing that I really did enjoy, and this is a reach, too, for having to be your greatest moment, is I really enjoyed the Eric Lindros, John LeClair ceremony going into the Flyers Hall of Fame. I really enjoyed that, of two players that were just great players.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a definite highlight. And I agree with you on the Rollins thing. And I think part of that is just the fact that there was the perception that he was hanging on and not wanting to be traded so he could get the record. And then the other thing that, you know, maybe held it back a bit was the fact that the Phillies were in the midst of a down season. And, of course, it's only going to get worse next year the way it's looking. So that's why that wouldn't make my list. You're right, though, about the Eagles on Thanksgiving. That was definitely a high point and one of the most memorable moments of the year. We were all looking forward to that game, and we thought that was going to decide the division right then and there. Well, it didn't. It did for that night, maybe, but here we are 3 weeks later, and the Eagles are starting to make their off-season plans. The Cowboys are getting ready for the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you this. Does this whole thing, we'll get into this a little bit more in a few minutes, but does this whole thing bother you more that it's the Cowboys? If this were the Giants or the Redskins that are going to win the division over the Eagles, can you take that a little easier than it being the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, I'm not one of those people who gets all wrapped up in the Eagles versus Cowboys thing. There are some people out there, and I'm not kidding, who would be happy if the Eagles were, you know, 2-14, and these are Eagles fans, as long as they beat the Cowboys twice. I'm not in that group. I want to see the Eagles, you know, do well all the time. And it hurts a little bit more that it's, I guess, the Cowboys going on, just because there are so many Cowboys fans still in this area, many of them, you know, who have no reason to be. I just hate that whole America's team and their bandwagon jumpers. You know, root for the team in your area. That's the way I've always been. So that bothers me to an extent. But, you know, this kind of a meltdown, I don't care if it was the Redskins or Giants winning the division over the Eagles. The way it all happened for the Eagles, it hurts, no matter whether it's the Cowboys or whomever in that position.
I agree. And you know, I heard some of the experts, more experts than us, say today that the leading candidate for the coach of the year is Jason Garrett. And who would have ever thought that?
Yeah, really, but you got to give the guy credit. I mean, you and I talked about it back in August and September. We thought the Cowboys would not fare very well this year. I thought they might go, you know, 5-11. There were just so many questions about the defense, you know, whether Tony Romo was going to start showing his age a little bit. You know, they've gone 8-8 the last 3 years or whatever, so why would they be any better this year after losing two or three key guys on defense? It was just hard to fathom them winning more games than the Eagles, and, you know, here they are with 11 wins. It's just crazy. So you got to consider Jason Garrett among the top three or four coaches right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the I think Rob Marinelli, we talked about him a couple weeks ago, and you know, I have him listed as one of the biggest changers for those for the Dallas Cowboys. That defense, who would have ever thought, you know, as bad as they were, they lost their two best players in Ware and Sean Lee, and I hate to say it, but they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, you got to give them credit. That hurts me a little bit, but you know, I mentioned on Facebook to a couple of my friends, kudos to the Cowboys. They earned it, and the Eagles certainly fell flat in December. Hey, one other thing, let's not forget, Bill, regarding Philadelphia area sports highlights, and this one happened on April 30th, 2014. You know what that would be?
I don't think I do.
That would be the premiere episode of the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. That's certainly a highlight.
Well, that certainly is a highlight, and I should know that because I just looked that date up earlier today. But that wasn't quite where I thought you were going, but you know what? That is absolutely a highlight.
There you go, and here we are.
In a little bit, too, we'll talk a little bit more about all those episodes that we had.
Here we are 8 months later, still going strong 8 months later.
That's right. Well, let's thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.ShopForKisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shop@gmail.com or give them a call at 484-319-8043. And Chad, I wanted to tell you, I met up with Sharon Snyder, mm-hmm. you know, from Kisses for Kyle the other day. to get my winnings, actually. I won the raffle, the big raffle of a beautiful Cole Hamels type painting.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Signed by Hamels, Rollins, Utley, Howard, and Kendrick. I'll post a picture of it here later on tonight. But I met up with her, and, man, what a fantastic job she's doing. And with that whole thing with Kiss of Style, and they are helping with over 125 families over this Christmas, and funds they've raised, things they've done, and just doing a really fantastic job. And I have to give a shout out to Sharon and her crew. They really are doing a fantastic thing.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of meeting Sharon on several occasions over the last 4 years or so, and she does a great job. And boy, what a lot of she has a bundle of energy too, man. She is always on the go, always happy. So she does a real good job for Kisses for Kyle.
Yes, she does. Well, hey, before we talk Eagles, we have a call. Let's take the call right quick, and then we'll get to it. Hello, welcome to the show.
Merry Christmas, ho ho ho! How you doing, Chet and Bill?
Mark, hey, how are you, Mark?
Yeah.
Mark, how are you, my friend?
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, always glad to talk to you. And I'm glad, Chet, you revised your thinking about what the highlight of the year was, because sports-wise, I wasn't coming up with anything but that Little League team. I guess as I get ready for the 58th year, I shouldn't be perplexed or surprised with the Eagles, but it's one of these questions that you're going to constantly ask yourself as you watch decades go by, and you can't figure out why they can't get over the hurdle. And I guess, Chet, I'll ask you a question for you to do some research.
Okay.
I heard on listening on the radio to some other pundits, they came up with a question, multiple choice A through D. And basically, who do you think will be the quarterback next year starting for the 2015 Eagles? A would be Foles, B would be Sanchez, C would be a free agent, and D would be somebody from a draft. All right? So that's your assignment for homework, all right?
Okay.
Bill, I'll get you for a baseball question, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We have very little to look forward to, obviously, we're going to start the farewell tour, and Jimmy Rollins did that. Now, you mentioned you just picked up a nice portrait from Cole Hamels, so give me some ideas of where you think when, before the season or before their trade line, do they trade Hamels? Okay, an idea of a possibility where you think they would go, all right? And I'll throw this to both of you. Looking at I made comments on Facebook, and a shout-out all to our mutual Facebook friends for having a great Christmas, also to listen to your radio program, and to Frank and Bob and yourself, Bill, for your charity work. I'm looking at a situation as a Philadelphia sports fan, period. You guys can really resonate with me on this. We've really hit a Scrooge and black hole syndrome together in our professional sports field. We have maybe a good Villanova Big Five team that we can fall upon for a little bit of the winter, but we really are going to have a hard time grasping for anything the next fall again. I'm sure Eagles are going to occupy a lot of sports talk for the next 8-9 months with the draft, the combine, the same situation. I feel point blank. One last question to throw to both of you. As we sit back now looking at the DeSean Jackson scenario, very controversial at the time then, and very controversial, I guess, again now. And speaking on two levels, not just on a professional level for Jackson as a player, but as Chip, we don't know what all goes inside a locker room or what a chemistry coach is looking for at a particular time. I can agree with a lot of the rest of the people. The vertical area hurt us this year for any quarterback that was playing for the Eagles on their offense. But, you know, it's a scenario where we come to this last game, which is a meaningless event, and Eagles are known for playing very well for meaningless games over my lifetime. So it's a matter now that I just more or less enjoy the holiday with your family, take the bittersweet pill, and just hope that we can go on. And we have a foundation still there with the Eagles, but we got problems in the other areas, guys, and it's going to be a long, long winter. So with that, great job. Keep up the great work and enjoy your family time for the holidays. And Chatton and I hope we get a chance to see you again in person soon. All right? Take
Absolutely,
care.
Absolutely, Mark. Happy holidays, Mark.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and your family. Appreciate your support throughout the year, my friend.
No problem. Take care. Bye-bye now.
All right, Mark.
Okay. Well, Chet, go ahead. Start out. I think the first question Mark had was to you, and to me that's kind of an easy one, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't need to do any research. A, Foles, B, Sanchez, C, a free agent, or D, someone in the draft. I think it's going to be Nick Foles. I mean, clearly it's not going to be Mark Sanchez. He can be a capable backup, perhaps. I wouldn't be opposed to him coming back as the backup. But I think the guy starting at quarterback next September 2nd or whatever the date is going to be Nick Foles. They're not going to, I don't think, move up to get Marcus Mariota in the draft. It would be nice and a whole lot of fun and exciting if they did, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to bring a free agent in either. For the quarterback position, I think it's going to go back to Nick Foles, and they're going to hope that he bounces back with a very solid year, you know, after the way he started this year, not so great.
Yep. Well, I'm in 100% agreement with you. I think Foles is going to be their guy. I heard one of the guys today say that they thought it would take three number ones, Fletcher Cox and Michael Kendrick, to get up in the top five.
Wow, that's a lot.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, yeah, I'm with you with Nick Foles. As far as the Cole Hamels deal, you know, I said this the other week as well. I would like them to keep Hamels. You know, they've pretty much come out, and Ruben was on the radio this morning as well, and I think we're saying 2017, 2018 before they can compete. But, you know, so what are you going to get? If you're looking at it that way, is Hamels done by the time that 2017 season comes? Is he pretty much over the hill? But if you trade him, do you trade him for players that can play now, or do you trade him for prospects? And what if the prospects bust? So, you know, if somebody has to put people in the seats, and maybe he wins 27 out of 56 games like happened many years ago. Who knows? But somebody has to has to be a draw. They've got somebody, you know, they've got to get somebody there. I don't see Chase Utley. He's not leaving. They're not going to be able to move Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard's still going to be here because they can't move the contract. So I think they are where they are. They're going to move Marlon Byrd. They may move a couple other smaller players, maybe even Chooch. But I think Utley, Howard, and Hamels are going to be here.
Yeah, I'm still not sure about Hamels. I still think they may pull the trigger on that if they can get enough solid prospects for Hamels. You got to be really careful on this. You got to make sure you're getting some guys who are just about ready to play in the major leagues if you're trading away Cole Hamels. Because as you said, he's the one attraction on that team right now. Yeah, the fans still love Chase Utley, but really, he's not the player that he used to be. Rollins is gone now. Cody Ashe's not a superstar by any means. Ryan Howard, if he is back, not what he used to be. And I still think he may go, by the way. They would have to eat most of his salary, but it could happen. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out with Cole Hamels. And by the way, Mark hit the nail on the head on another thing, too. It is going to be a long time between, you know, watching our teams do well. It's going to be till next September, I guess, when the Eagles come back, because, as he said, the Sixers are going to be, you know, battling that futility record of 9 wins in a season. The Flyers are a borderline playoff team. And as we just discussed, the Phillies are at least a couple of years away from contending again.
Yeah, I think I was trying to think without actually spending a ton of detail of at what point we were ever this bad with all the teams, and the Eagles are really aren't this bad, but you know, that we were so out of it and really didn't have anything going on, because through the years, the Flyers have always been competitive. When all else was failing, the Flyers were almost always still in the mix. And it,
they had some rough years in the
mid-90s.
In the mid-90s, they were bad.
Right, right. But, you know, for the most part, we've always had somebody that was in the thick of things, and it's not looking so good. But, hey, I wanted to talk Eagles with you for just a minute, and you know, I think the loss to the Redskins and the elimination has all been beaten up and discussed and written and everything you could think of. But what did you think of Chip Kelly's press conference and his reaction to some of the questions he asked? You know, he's always full of life and he's cocky and all that. But, man, this Chip was not the same guy, and he has taken a beating from the fans
and
the media. They have turned on him quicker than anything.
The honeymoon lasted exactly 1 3/4 seasons. You know, since Thanksgiving, things have not gone well. And, you know, given what happened over the past few weeks, some of it Chip's doing, of course, his testiness at yesterday's news conference was somewhat understandable. Now, the most amazing statement to me was his comment that Bradley Fletcher has played well during the year. Well, I guess he has played well at times, but he's also played horribly much of the time, which is borne out by numbers that tell us that Fletcher has allowed more yards and touchdowns than any cornerback in the NFL. So I think, you know, Chip stuck with him too long. Maybe Bill Davis gets some of the blame for that. Yeah, Chip's gotten testy. And the other thing that has bothered me is Chip's reluctance to play some of the backups like Matt Barkley and Marcus Smith in Week 17 in what's now, unfortunately, a totally meaningless game. I know Chip wants to get to 10 wins again. I guess that will look better than 9. But really, isn't it more important to give these young guys some regular season game action? And, you know, why won't he do it?
Well, I'm with him on this. I'm with Chip Kelly on this, and I like his logic. You know, if you haven't earned the job for 15 weeks, 17 weeks, whatever week we're in, why should you be given the job or given a job or given playing time in the last week?
Because it's an opportunity.
Yeah, but you know what? You had an opportunity all season long to earn that position, and you couldn't do it. You didn't do it because the coaches felt like the other guy was better, and you know, in his comment, I think he picked out Brandon Graham specifically. He said, you know, that Marcus Smith has not beat out Brandon Graham, so why should he be given that job for a week when Brandon Graham has busted his tail and won the position?
Well, we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this one because, yeah, the guys didn't earn the job during the season, but that's when the games mattered. Now it's a meaningless game, so I think this would be the opportunity to give some of the other guys an opportunity to, you know, showcase what talent they may have. They're not going to take the other guy's job away. It's just this one week to, you know, see what they can do in a regular season pro football game.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel like, let's just say hypothetically, we put Marcus Smith in that spot. Any guy makes 10 or 12 tackles, plays a decent game. Then is the coach with the ego. It's all coaches have egos. Now you open yourself up to full criticism for not playing the kid.
Yeah, you do, but, you know, so what? I think people will trust the coaches enough to realize that, you know, Smith didn't earn the playing time during the season, and maybe because it's a meaningless game and the Giants maybe don't care as much, you know, Smith is allowed to get a little bit more done out on the field. I don't worry about that kind of stuff. I just think it's a perfect opportunity to get some other guys some action out on the field and, you know, just see what they can do and just to give them a taste of NFL action that they haven't really had before other than a couple of very brief instances for Matt Barkley.
Let me ask you this in regards to Chip Kelly. As you know, I've not been on the Chip bandwagon from the start, but I'm not ready to fire the guy. I mean, he is being absolutely crucified, and I'll go back to the same thing I just said about being too high and too low. He wasn't a genius to start with, and he's not a bum now, you know, and I think everybody had him way up on this pedestal that he was reinventing football, and all of a sudden we've lost some games, and now the guy's a bum. he's not a bum. He wasn't a genius. He's a football coach. And what's your feeling about Kelly now as things have played out the way they have?
Well, I like Kelly. I was never one of the people who would call him a genius, but I did think he, you know, brought some good ideas to the table. Now, the one thing, of course, that he insisted on was this fast-paced option or offense, getting plays off every 22 seconds or whatever. And while that's exciting, it's an issue to me because when the defense is on the field about two-thirds of the game, as has been the case in several recent games, that's not a good thing. And a big reason for that is his fast-paced offense, especially when they've had a lot of three and outs over the last few weeks. I think he's got to mix it up a little bit, not do that every time you have the ball on offense, because the defense, no matter how great a shape they are in, you know, clearly he's gotten the guys in pretty good shape, they're tired right now. And you know, maybe that's a factor in why Bradley Fletcher has played worse than even earlier in the season over the last three games. So I think he's got to look at that and be willing to make some adjustments as far as that fast-paced offense is concerned. I think he's got to try to mix it up a little bit offensively in terms of getting Sproles and LeSean McCoy out there at the same time. He's got to get Zach Ertz involved in more games than just this game against the Redskins last weekend. Of course, he's got to get Zach Ertz to block a little better also. That's one of the big downsides from what everybody's saying, that Zach Ertz is not a great blocker, and so he's got to work on that as we go forward. There are some issues, and there's going to be a lot of things to work on in the offseason and next year's training camp. So, no, Chip is not a genius, perhaps, but, yeah, like you said, he's not a bum either. The guy won 10 games in his rookie season, and he's going to win 9 or 10 in his second season. So I think he's very capable, and he's just got to take a look at everything in the offseason to see what can be done to get this team over the hump.
Well, and your comment on the three and outs is definitely on point, but take that and add 36 turnovers to the three and outs.
Yeah,
and now
league
the defense
worst
is always on the field, you know. So that's that plays into that. But I'll tell you this, Chad, I think the right now, from the end of the season here to August, the personnel moves that the Eagles make and the draft decisions they make are absolutely critical to the Chip Kelly era. You know, they've got to sign Jeremy Maclin, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think they need a receiver even with Maclin. If they don't have him, then I think they're in serious trouble there. They've got so many places they have to upgrade, and they did a great job with that with the special teams this past season. The only downside to all those special teamers they got, other than Darren Sproles, is very few of them played any on the field. They're strictly special teamers, so they're taking up roster spots. But they're good at what they do, and they definitely improved that. But now you've got to improve the defense, and you've got to make some offensive signings and improvements as well. So this is absolutely critical. They can't have a draft like they had this past year.
Can we agree that the secondary is a top priority for the offseason?
Oh, it was a top priority for last offseason.
Yep, and it is again.
We just didn't pick it. So, yeah, absolutely. And I'm okay that they ended up with Jordan Matthews, but there was some there were some other things they needed to do as well.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, I think we have to revisit this issue that we've talked about a couple of times over the past 8 months. DeSean Jackson. Can we say now that the Eagles did miss DeSean Jackson? Maybe not his personality, but as far as what he brought to the offense and, you know, what he did for taking some of the focus off Shady McCoy, et cetera. Can you agree that he was missed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And you could see it as the season, even early in the year, but you could see how they couldn't spread the field. And, you know, we talked about this before the season ever started, that my opinion was they're going to rush Nick Foles, they're going to rush him, and make him get rid of the ball quick and get in his face, but the defensive coordinators had chances to see a lot of tape, and they were going to have a different approach. And that's exactly what they did. But then you take the fact that they didn't have a deep threat, really, because even Macklin is not Jackson as far as getting down the field, which closed the whole offense down, which now made Riley Cooper ineffective. Riley Cooper's no worse of a player this year than he was last, but he wasn't in the same positions that, you know, they didn't allow the same things to happen defensively for Cooper to be successful. So, you know, I think not having that definitely hurt. But I will say this from the coach's standpoint, and obviously not at the professional level by any means, but I've coached for a long time. I understand Kelly wanting to cut the cancer out of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens at every level. But, you know, we also said months ago, they didn't replace his production. And so it finally came to haunt them here last week. And, you know, as far as Jackson and a little bit of showboating and things he was doing and kind of rubbing it into people's face, I'm not for all that showboat stuff. But, my gosh, they threw him in the trash. And he made it pay for it. So a little celebration for Deshaun was probably deserved.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold it against him.
Yep. So I'd like to see they got to get somebody who can stretch the field a little bit. No doubt about it.
And, no doubt about
it. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where they get that guy, because as much of the problem as the kid is, Deshaun is, he can get open deep. I believe he led the league again, didn't he, in 40-plus yard receptions, I want to say.
I know he was among the leaders. I don't know if he led the league, but he was definitely among in the top three. Hey, we normally make a prediction as we wind down each show. Not that it matters this weekend, but what's your outlook for the Eagles-Giants season finale?
Oh, my goodness.
tough one.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm going to say that the Eagles come out and play well. The Giants are actually playing well. They've won three or four games in a row.
I think they've won three in a row, and the Eagles have lost three in a row.
Yeah, I'm going to say we're going to have a little pride. I think we're going to play well. And I'm going to say, if I got to give a score, I'm going to go 38-28.
Okay. I'm going to go crazy and not make a prediction this week, because you know why? The last 3 weeks I picked the Eagles and it didn't turn out so well. So I'm going to just stay in the background.
You're reverse psychology this time, huh?
There you go.
All right. Well, we'll get you on Sunday, though. We'll get something out of you on Sunday.
All right. Watch for me on Facebook.
Hey, that's right. Hey, this will be the last show of the year since we'll be taking next week off. So we'd like to send out some special thank yous. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday wishes to many of the people that have helped make this first 32 shows possible. Jed's been 32 already.
I know it.
It's hard to believe. We have Bob Sullivan at theshopforkisses.org. Carl Henderson at Carl's Cards and Collectibles has been a great support of our program. Sharon Snyder, as we said, at Kisses for Kyle Foundation. Of course, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire. Kevin McClure, our first ever guest. Frank Kolochny, Steve Swickowitz, Mark McClain, who called again today. Kyle Lutz, who has his own show going as well. Chris Liam Pora, Fox Sports Philly, who Chet, he's the one that set us up. And when we first met, we were doing some things with him. And Big John Roberts and Robbie Ellis, Fred Hugo, Kath Braley, Matt Rossi at MJR Sports Collectibles, my buddies Danny Bevins, Adam Jessic, and Mike Klein down in Florida, Stephanie Miller, Dave Capper, Merlin, Rob Hernandez in Texas, Joe Pasculio and Mike Gagne from Delaware. I mean, we've had them from all over the place. They've all been regular listeners, and there are a whole bunch of them. We don't even know their names, but those guys have all been supporting us from the start.
Yeah, and what about our special guests? We've had quite a few of them over the course of the last 32 episodes. Mark Eckel, a three-timer, I believe. Fran Duffy, Joe Ferry from the Dick Allen for the Hall of Fame campaign. Matt Goldberg, Tom Moore, Elliot Shore Parks, Arkansas Fred Barnett, D. Lynam covering the Sixers and a guest on our show in October, Gary Cobb, Kevin Riley, Mike Reichenbach, and, of course, the Hall of Famer, Ray Dinger. So some great guests, some fun, lively discussions, and we've hopefully set the stage for lots more good stuff to come in 2015. I'm sure the local teams will continue to give us plenty to talk about, good and bad.
And of course, we want to thank our families as well. And, you know, they have to adjust their lives because we can't do anything on Wednesday nights because we have a show to do. So there's been a lot of sacrifice from those folks as well. And we appreciate everything they do for us to support us as well.
I kick my family out of the house every Wednesday evening, and I put up the Genius at Work sign on the basement door.
Well, I do the same thing and have to put the dogs in the backyard and tell the family to go out. So same
yep.
thing happens for me as well.
Yep, right. We've had fun, Bill. Happy holidays to you, buddy.
Yep, you too as well, and happy holidays to your family.
Thank you.
So for Jim Chesko, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio Wednesday night, January 7th, since we won't be back next week. January 7th, back on Wednesday to talk all things Philly sports. You can listen to our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.